Welcome to the On Point podcast from Glass Aftercare. This week we have another instalment from our participation in the Francis Crick Institute Sustainability Day. Our MD Rob Milosevic spoke to CBRE Energy Manager Charlotte Covington, who is Energy Lead at the Institute and organised the event.
So, firstly, Charlotte, thanks for inviting us into the Francis Crick, the ESG day with CBRE. It's been actually really interesting talking to a lot of the vendors and suppliers that are actually part of the whole thing, and actually catching up with some people within the business that I've worked with for years, and now I realise they've moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for coming. I hope you got some use out of it. I know we definitely did.
Yeah. So was there many Crick people? Did you think that they get any feedback from them?
Yeah, so it is a bit of a weird one. Obviously, a lot of the people here, it's more of a like informative piece. Like the people, you're not necessarily selling anything. It's inform, the people that work here what we're actually doing. What I'm kind of hoping to do is kind of, within CBRE, we have a facilities management team, and I want to sort of like integrate it a bit more, so everyone's kind of, the mission for everyone should be sustainability. So I want everyone to be involved in that, give their opinions. People that work here are, super, super clever.
Yeah.
They can, think of probably some solutions or ideas or problems that they've experienced working here. I've only been here about 6 months, so, people might know the building better than I do. So I think it's important, to bring everyone together and have those discussions. And my goal was that this day would kind of start that. Discussion.
I think at first when you mentioned, I thought that, but just chatting to a few people that have inquired, and I came to the conclusion very quickly, is that actually the people, the environment creates the behaviour. And, they would certainly be able to tell and give feedback, really positive feedback on what they'd like to see and how they can be part of that discussion of sustainability. Because it can be quite dry and quite droll, and yet it's so topical, people are coming back from, there's a lot of hot air from the COP27, but it's actually from on the ground from, people that are looking after these buildings that it can sort of really come to life. So, I mean, last time me and you spoke, we used the word greenwash and how important it is for I'm ancient, but younger people to be driving that discussion. So what sort of things are you looking for, what kind of changes do you look to make?
Well, essentially it's, this probably again is going to sound a bit like cliche or something, but I'm not here just to like be a tick box kind of person, or I'm not just doing things to say, oh, we've looked at that, that's fine, tick that off, or we've got a sustainability person, so that's great, like we're doing us off, end of. I actually want to make a real difference, so obviously it's here it's a bit more difficult because there is science going on, so we can't just like turn off everything, because obviously that's very important work that they're doing for years and years. But I want to actually, make tangible carbon reductions, like tangible energy reductions. I don't just want to, talk about it forever and ever. I want to, go on that journey to, net zero is like.
Do you see that as a real?
Well,
do you see it as realistic?
Well, no. When I say on the journey, I don't mean we have to be at zero, but working towards that at least. And I know that they've already made some big changes, but as with everything, there's still work to do. And I do feel lucky here because everyone is really keen, and they're conversations that people are wanting to have, and it's not something that I'm having to like force upon people. People come to me and say, I've heard of this, like, can we look into this more? Or have you thought about this thing?
How much do you, obviously this is a bit of a supplier day, but I mean, how much do you use your supplier network to, let's say for instance, in a building like this where they say, okay, we've got solar gain issues. I mean, we're facade centric, so everything we do is about, how is the performance, how can we enhance the performance of the facade? So it's either some kind of glass or photovoltaics. I mean, the sample today, which seemed to generate quite a lot of interest, was the heated glass.
Yeah.
So the heated glass is becoming more, you know, originally it was sort of a domestic product, but it's actually becoming more of a commercial viable product, only because photovoltaics, actually, you could link into it, and it becomes a bit of a free energy. Yeah. So you're heating the space and localized. So a lot of people, you know, I could be sitting next to someone who's uncomfortable at 21 degrees and someone who wants it to be 25 degrees. So by using the facade, I could actually calibrate it to my own personal comfort. Do you see that personalization of buildings and people saying, okay, well, this is what I'd like, either an improved air quality, or I need an improved heat or comfort level, or even daylight? So there's a lot of studies out there about daylight improving performance and actually, you know, like with the SAD and everything else. Mm-hmm. Do you get in conversations about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm still sort of fairly new to this industry. I'm new to the building management, facilities management industry. So I've been here like 6 months. So my time so far has been, you know, getting used to the industry, getting used to how things work. As much as I'd love to come in and, you know, just change this, that, and that, that's not realistic. So what we do have, like at CBRE, obviously we've got a central network where we can like sort of share mm-hmm. knowledge of different buildings and things. And again, this building is a very specific type of building, so the conditions are very specific. So in the labs, they have to have it like a certain way, for example. Obviously, you know, the sort of cafe area, the more general area, is a bit more free to implement those changes. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about science, you have to go about it a very specific way, just because they have to have those certain conditions. Mm-hmm. So that is, changes in those areas take longer and sort of more convincing in a way.
So it seems fitting that, you know, because it is a science, and the way that facilities management, and I'm sure it's CBRE, I see it all the time, but, you know, data-driven maintenance mm-hmm. seems to be certainly on the up, where it used to be sort of a buzzword maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Now, you know, the analytics and the dashboards and the things that we're actually physically showing. So, you know, most buildings now have this is the air quality, this is, you know, our status of excellence. Is that being well received by clients? Did they see it?
I can't obviously speak for sort of everyone, but in my experience, data is the starting point of anything. So proposing any kind of changes, it's like, where's the data behind that? You need to measure something to know where you're using it. So for example, we have quite a good sort of like measuring system, I guess. That is leading me to where I'm focusing my efforts, because obviously on that I can see where are we using the most gas, or where are we using the most energy, because those are the things we obviously want to focus on. So in my experience, it's been very well received. I think it's the basis of everything, really, is the data, is the measuring. And then also, once you've made those changes, it's good to have that comparison, right? So if you don't know where you started, how do you know where you are now? Because it's all well and great being like, oh, like we've implemented this, I don't know, software, or we've implemented this asset, but how much did that make a difference? Was it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what's the return on investment of that? And again, these are all things I've sort of been learning in the past 6 months. Because they're the things that in practice, they're the things that matter. As much as it would be great if everyone just installs all the most environmentally friendly things, at the end of the day, like how much is it going to cost, or how long is it going to take you to receive that back?
Do you have responsibility for you? I mean, as a client and as a facilities manager, do you think compliance is a big weight, you know, does it carry a lot of decision, you know, is it creating the decision making because of the compliance and the standards that are coming through?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely does come into it. I know it's something that is obviously considered in our decision-making process. I think, you know, sustainability is a bit of a newer field, I guess. Obviously, it's been around for a while, but, you know, it's sort of just really coming to the front of things. Traditionally, I guess, compliance is what a lot of decisions were made upon. So now it's sort of bringing all those different factors together and making the right decisions. But yeah, I guess compliance can sometimes can, you know, limit decisions, or it really sort of forces decisions to go in one certain direction. But I guess, like with all things, it's about like finding balance with, you know, the costs and the rules, and then the environmental benefits. It's about weighing up all those things.
So if we wanted to be, what advice would you have for and I know you're not a, but from what little you do know, what do you think would be for any vendor wanting to upskill themselves and be a much better supply chain network provider, what do you think is a sort of like top three skills going forward that, that future-proofs it and actually brings a lot more value than...
I think up there would definitely be sort of like the ease of the process. I don't know if that makes sense, but what I sort of mean by that is it's you want the information sort of readily available. You want to be able to tell your clients how it will help them specifically, because it's, you know, it's all well and good me seeing sort of your product. You know, I don't mean you, I mean like a product. But then you have to go through the whole process of, right, where is that going to go? How much is that going to save? Like, how much is that going to cost? There's all these elements that have to be considered. So if you have like a team or a person who's just really helpful, you know, can help tailor some of that, those savings. Because, you know, it's great having the, you can save 50% on this, but okay, but how much are we actually going to save kind of thing.
To completely relatable, put it
make
context,
it relate,
and the content and the context has to be relatable to a building and easily demonstrable with some science behind it and shareable.
Well, like at least work together to produce that information. So, you know, some products say they can save, I don't know, X amount of energy, but you know that will depend on where you are, where you are geographically, or what type of glass you have. I don't, you know, different factors.
So for instance, like the collaborative piece we've been talking about is like solar, to get rid of some solar gain, reduce the energy, maybe some solar film.
Yeah.
But then we actually work together and say, okay, well, let's do it on a certain part of the building by agreement, and then actually feed all the data into it that's so shareable with the client and CBRE so that decision can be made based on the science.
Because otherwise, you know, things, as you know, maybe this sounds bad, but you know, like things can sort of get lost, like, you know, things take a lot of time and maybe lose a bit of momentum sometimes, whereas if it was all sort of more, you know, readily available, things wouldn't, you know, lose that momentum and there'd be more of a push to get it done. You know, things can just take a while, and it's because you're, you know, trying to get this data collected, or you're trying to do a comparison on something else, and you know. But I think the momentum is quite important, because otherwise people, you know, people are busy. They get sidetracked with something else, or you know, another project comes up, or people are on holiday, or you know, things take time.
No, absolutely. I mean, I get that, the momentum. I mean, that's why we. I'm not sure if I've shown you the portal yet, but maybe I'll do it on a Zoom. But for, I mean, I showed Will, and I think that the portal for here would be really good, because, especially if we trial it on the, or maybe not for the podcast, but or for the piece here, but if we trial it, you can invite in, innovate to share, you know, people in, and go, okay, this is what we've got, this is on part of the building, here's some sensors, maybe work with Kendra, and then get that feedback and go, okay, well, look, here's a little viable product, a project on, you know, 100 square meters or something. Imagine if it rolled out onto, you know, 1,000 square meters. That's the thing.
Yeah. So for example, if we're talking about that product, like I would like advice, for example, on maybe where you'd recommend it even going to start off with. You know, there's a lot of potential here, but I wouldn't know if we had to pick one specific area. I don't know where the best area would be necessarily, but maybe yourself or, you know, your team would be able to help me with that. Or
absolutely. I mean, the thing is, there's so much, you know, sun's going to play such a big thing. So just understanding the tracking of the sun. And you know, there is so much free, you know, like AI is tapping into weather forecasting so easily that you could actually track it and go, okay, well, this, it's the south elevation which is taking all your energy, and you're losing all through the north, for instance. So, you know, we could have one solution for the north, one for the south. That together actually would create an equilibrium, so you've got like a maximum 5 degree temperature change. Now your chillers, your electrics, everything is going to be able to cope with that. Whereas at the moment, I almost guarantee that you've got like a 12 to 15% temperature change. And, you know, that in an energy, building energy management system is actually really costly. So, it's that type of stuff, but it's quite consultative and, you know, like it takes time to, you know, get their stakeholders together to agree to, you know, even give you time to say, okay, let me consider it. You know, I know you've got engineers and you, are you an engineer?
Not, my background's not engineering.
No, it's ESG, isn't it?
Mine's more like sustainability and policy.
I think I was talking to one of your grads.
They're engineers.
So, I mean, you know, they could put together a lot of stuff really quickly. But we certainly got the portal for it, and we've got the place to innovate and to share. And, you know, with gaming technology now as well, we've worked with that, so you can actually visualise it. But, you know, blow the client away.
That's the thing, like, you know, make things, like, you know, easy to look at, like, appealing to look at. You know, tables and of numbers and things are useful. They have obviously got their use, but there's also a place for sort of nice presented things.
There is a place for the metaverse.
Web
3 technology is here, definitely. Charlotte, thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy, I know you've got people to see, and it's still
it's still
a busy environment. But
Thank you for having me.
Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.